Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
The Around the NFL podcast is still explaining to Mark what the gritty is.
From the Chris Wessling podcast studio, it's Around the NFL. Dan Hens is here. Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler back from Indianapolis. And yes, the big news is obvious. Tomorrow, the Flashpoint series returns from hiatus.
Absolutely. Well timed.
Flashpoint.
Nothing else going on.
Baker Mayfield.
Got to roll out a series that you could easily do in July.
A series that we rebranded after one episode into a new version of it.
People were concerned. Right. The hiatus. How long does the hiatus last? Now, free agency starts next week. Does it go back on hiatus? Most likely. But just know that's the big news right now.
It's struggling to get out of the gate.
Just know that we still have like new listeners. Maybe someone who's never heard the Around the NFL podcast. Wow, what a good day to check in. One of the biggest news days in NFL history, and they've already clicked off.
Actually, they're like, whoa, these guys are funny, irreverent, different. I'm staying tuned. It's the other way to look at it.
Somewhere in the middle. I don't think we have them on that one.
Holy shit. There's so much going on right now, and we're going to get into all of it because, yes, one of the biggest trades in recent NFL history has gone down, the Aaron Rodgers soap opera. That seems to be going on hiatus for the time being, although you never know. Franchise deadline is passing in 16 minutes exactly, and we're tracking it to the deadline. We're going to get to all of it, all the news. There's a dude that got suspended for gambling, one of the best wide receivers in the league. Going to hit that. Greg's got some against-the-grain takes on that, too. He's going to put it all on the line.
That's what I'm waiting for.
That's news.
At NFL Network
headquarters. That's news to me. But yes, Calvin Ridley does feel like a bit of a D story now.
It's like Greg's.
We were leading with that 16 hours.
It's Greg's side hobby and deep obsession clashing with his desire to be a company man, all in one story.
It gets messy.
It's going to be tough.
The bigger gambling gets, the messier it gets.
I've been very careful
for Greg
since joining the NFL, and this news, I have to say, made me happy of how careful I've been.
And even though we have so much news to get to, yes, the last time you heard from us, we were in Indianapolis at the Combine. We don't know much. We're learning as we go along here, the prospect side of things. But you know who knows a lot? Shooky. Shooky's a rising star, rising talent here at NFL Media, and he had a great write-up on his all-combine team. Nick Shook, nice hook there, like that. So we're going to welcome in Shook in a bit to talk that. But before we get to anything, yes, let's get to the huge news involving a certain somebody.
Hey, Seattle, we got a deal.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
Dope. Wow. I love the Russell Wilson smooth brother act. It's the best. Nothing beats it.
I think it was Danny Kelly who said it. Maybe it was someone else that, you know, he'll go down as one of the greatest players in Seahawks history and definitely the horniest. Just like that's been a big part of the Russell Wilson experience, and I enjoy it.
That was a social media clip from when he signed his extension with Seattle in 2019 from his bed, yes, with his celebrity wife. And it was announcing that he was staying with the Seahawks.
Go Hawks, baby.
For the long term. But it turns out history had other plans. NFL Network's Tom Pelissero reported Tuesday, he broke it, that the Seahawks and Broncos agreed in principle on a trade sending quarterback Russell Wilson to Denver. The Broncos for a massive haul, including multiple first-round picks, plus additional picks and players. The full package, which also sent a fourth-round pick Denver's way. Two first-rounders, two second-rounders, a fifth-rounder. The centerpeece of the trade, Drew Lock. Defensive tackle Shelby Harris and tight end Noah Fant, that from Rap Sheet. Greggy, the trade is pending a physical and Wilson waiving his no trade clause. Can't be finalized until the new league year next week. But it's happening, and it's a bombshell that rivals any trade in the history of this podcast, at least.
The history of the NFL.
Oh, he did it. Greggy.
He's
known for hyperbole, baby.
Mr. Unlimited.
Just in terms of where he is at his career, what it means for the Broncos, certainly what it means for the Seahawks. I just start where I've been over the last couple of years on this, that this was coming and that the Seahawks organization had a decision to make. Could they go with Russell Wilson? Or should they choose Pete Carroll? And all the 12s were in my mentions for the last couple of years. Oh, that's not about that. It's not about choosing one another. It's not some sort of power struggle. That's not the issue. I really think it was. I think Russell Wilson made it clear he wanted out of Seattle a year ago in January, and he ended up getting out 1 year later. And that ultimately, Paul Allen, their owner, died. Jody Allen, his sister, took over. It's a bit of an ownership vacuum, and Pete Carroll filled it. He has more power than anyone. So I don't want to hear anything about, well, is Pete Carroll really going to go through a rebuild? Pete Carroll made this trade. He wanted to do the trade. He felt the value was worth it. There's a million avenues to go through here, but he got such a good offer that he believe now is the time, and I'm going to prove them all wrong. I'm 70 years old, but Debbie Hansa still thinks I'm hot. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to try to compete this year and show that it's more about me, and I'm going to try to compete next year. It's not about rebuilding. It's about making the Seahawks better. I think that's what he believes is going to happen here.
That may be what he believes, and I don't disagree with you, Greg. I think that, you know, we knew a year ago that this was the first chapter of quarterback discontentment that has spread across the league like wildfire, and it's paid off. I mean, Russell Wilson is probably somewhere he much would rather be at this point. So I'm with you there. But if we're going to look at it from a pro Seahawks angle and say that Pete Carroll and, you know, you throw in John Schneider, who's picking up the phone at least, got what they called a transformational deal. I don't see this as that. Two firsts, two seconds, and Shelby Harris, that's a nice player. Noah Fant, big yawn. And Drew Lock, a player that they were trying to get rid of essentially for the past two seasons, or at least lodge as their backup. I don't know how this transforms the Seahawks. If anything, I think it takes the legacy of Pete Carroll and John Schneider and puts it into a bit of a dark abyss, because now you're suddenly, essentially, last year's Broncos. Good team, nice parts, looking for a quarterback.
I think that is, to me, the biggest big picture viewpoint for Seattle now, is that you went from having a Hall of Fame level quarterback who has probably anywhere between 7 and 10, 11 years, who knows, left in the tank, to joining that great underbelly of the NFL, the teams that are wandering looking for their guy. And yet I also understand why they did it. And I think there could be some middle ground here, Greg, with it's not necessarily just like Pete Carroll was going to win or Russell Wilson was going to win and only one could survive and move forward. I think Seattle, in their internal conversations, would not be surprising to me if they were like, we are kind of caught in between right now. And we have this guy who's getting paid at a huge premium at quarterback. We have a roster that's not near Super Bowl ready. We've made some mistakes. We made that Jamal Adams trade. That didn't work out for us, giving away a lot of assets to get back a guy that has not been transformational on defense. Now we need to figure out what we want to do as an organization going forward. Do we try to figure this out with Wilson, or do we pull the trigger on a trade that allows us to reset everything? And I think there's something to be said for that beyond just Carroll wins and Wilson loses, or however you want to see this.
I'm with you, and I'm someone that I feel I'm a little caught in the middle here, that I don't think it was the worst trade ever for Seattle. Is it going to work out? Probably not, because they don't have a quarterback, but they have to make the picks count. I think what they got was significant. People were saying, oh, it's basically the same as the Jamal Adams trade, 2 1s. Well, no. You got 2 1s, 2 2s. I like Noah Fant. I think that's a good young tight end and a player in Shelby Harris that can definitely help you. I don't care about Locke. To me, that's almost a net negative. But that's 6 players. That's not nothing. That's different than that's Jamal Adams trade. But I think they're going to reset and try to use some of these resources to either draft a quarterback at 9. They now have the number 9 pick from Denver. Or draft a quarterback somewhere else, or use some of this cap space and use some of the room to go get a quarterback, because I don't think they're going to try to rebuild. I think it says something about what they saw with Russell Wilson. And that to me is a big part of this equation. You said he's probably got, you know, 7 good years left in him, maybe. I have my doubts. He struggled in the second half of 2019. He was very up and down in 2020. He is not a top 5 quarterback to me, and I think if they believed he was a top 5 quarterback that was going to age well, now he's someone that holds the ball forever and tries to rely on his athleticism to make those crazy plays. If they believed he was going to evolve and have the rest of his career like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady did, I don't think they would make that trade. I don't think they quite believe that Russell Wilson was the reason why they've been good these last 5 or 6 years.
It's a power struggle. But B, it aligns with their actual scouting thoughts on Russell Wilson. I mean, that would be fortunate for the Seahawks that it isn't a power struggle turning into a bad decision.
He's clearly, it's an annoying process that he made it clear that he wanted out. But I think kind of like Aaron Rodgers, you suck it up because he's Aaron Rodgers. And I think if Russell Wilson was Aaron Rodgers, he'd still be on the Seahawks, is my point. If he won the MVP the last 2 years, he's not an ex-Seahawk. He hasn't been that great. I think that's part of the equation. That's all.
We've talked about this before in the show. I disagree with you heartily on that. I understand that he hasn't been as good in recent years. He also broke his finger last year, or dislocated the finger, needed the surgery. So I don't know what to take out of the last half of last season, even though he even played better down the stretch. I still think he's a star. I think he's a superstar potentially still. And that's why you give it up to Broncos general manager, George Payton, because this is the swing. Obviously, they had their eyes on Aaron Rodgers, and we're going to get to Rodgers in a minute. That wasn't in play, and he picked up the phone and aggressively got the guy. And I just think if you're the Broncos and you're Broncos fans, you're over the moon right now, because you got the Super Bowl 50 win with Peyton, but it's been really tough sledding at quarterback, and you know that roster is locked and loaded. And if Russell Wilson is more the guy I think he is, Mark thinks he is.
I still think he's an above average, maybe borderline top 10 quarterback. I just don't think because he's so famous in that top shelf. Like, no, he's not Justin Herbert. He's the third best quarterback in this division.
He's the transformational part of this trade.
I think he is a potential still top 5 quarterback in the league personally. And you take him and you fill the biggest area of need on your team, and you are flying now. And don't be surprised when Von Miller now comes back to Denver, because that's kind of how the league and sports seems to work now. People like to build super teams. Denver just became a legit contender in the AFC. And I don't care about anything else down the line. They have a chance to win the Super Bowl, a very real chance, and it's a home run trade to me for that reason.
I lived in Denver for years. I've got friends from Denver who are tweeting, and it's like, look at the reaction from both fan bases. I get that fans maybe can gloss over things, so can we at times, but it's like the Denver Broncos fan base reaction says it all to me. They were a pretender last year. And I, you know, we're not going down the Teddy Bridgewater road, but you did not have the quarterback in a division with Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and Derek Carr, the best division in the AFC. You're now locked and loaded as a real contender. Somewhere Vic Fangio is saying, what the F? Because where was I when all this happened?
They should rehire him as the defensive coordinator.
That would be great. That doesn't happen in these days. But if you're Nathaniel Hackett, I do wonder, you're very close to Aaron Rodgers, that maybe he tipped off Nathaniel Hackett at some point and said, bro, this ain't happening. Go chase something else. Because they were right on this Russell Wilson deal 2 hours after the Aaron Rodgers news that was so-called secret.
Well, if anything, though, I think that says that they were still hanging around. And they put it out there through their insiders to make the PR of it all work better, that one thing had nothing to do with the other. I don't buy that. I do totally buy that they've been in these trade talks for the last 2 weeks, setting up this deal, hoping to get it done. And if it could get done, great. But the timing of it clearly indicates they were still holding out and seeing what was up with Aaron Rodgers. They didn't want to make Russell Wilson feel like he was the second option. Why should they? I think all these things can be true. I agree with you guys that it's a home run for Denver. Like, you got to make this move. To me, it's just more, he's Matthew Stafford. Like, I put him in that tier. And it's worth it to go get a Matthew Stafford when you're stuck in the middle or the below the middle at quarterback, which they were. Like, I'm not doubting as much
but
as I like
Teddy.
There's
more upside, I think, with Russell than even Stafford.
It's similar. It's in the same ballpark.
He's
and
younger
yes,
also.
You still got Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, Jerry Jeudy, Albert. I don't know where we settled on
Albert O.
Albert O. Yeah. I know, but I thought I had it. Okwebanam, but then they changed it.
Just don't.
Oh, my gosh.
Just don't. But
just
here's
ruined
a,
the whole
just gone
Javonte
up.
Williams, that is an awesome offense. I don't know if the defense is going to be good as good as the names look like because we just don't have Vic Fangio there anymore, but the offense should be incredible.
Like that's the point that the Broncos did not give away pieces that would strip away from Russell Wilson.
That's what surprised me. When I heard, multiple first-round picks and players, and when it ended up being Shelby Harris, Noah Fant, and Drew Locke, I was like, oh, really? Because I could have swore Jerry Jeudy, maybe Javonte Williams, maybe Sutton, one of those guys at least has to go back. So the fact now that Wilson goes and joins this offense that has remained intact after the deal, that makes it even more exciting if you're a Broncos fan.
Fant's a good player, though. I mean, at times he's looked like
But who's his quarterback?
No, I get
Geno
it.
Smith?
I'm just saying you can't.
Is it Geno time, Greggy?
To me, he is a starting defensive end. It was a first-round pick for a reason with a ton of potential. He's not nothing. Like, to me, him and Javonte Williams, for instance, have a similar value. The difference is he's on the fourth year of his contract. Shelby Harris is a nice player. I'm with you guys, though. As much as I'm like, I'm not making the case for Seattle. I'm just trying to explain, I think, why it happened and why they thought it could make sense. And because of the way that they've run their organization the last handful of years, it would not surprise me if they figure some things out this offseason and are in the mix even without Russell.
Well, how about this? In the mix potentially for Deshaun Watson. You got ammunition now finally to do that. In the mix, if you want to be spicy, go take Malik Willis at number 9. And don't go settle for a quarterback like a Drew Locke or fill in the blank that automatically has the fan base asleep at the wheel. You cannot come out of this with a dull option under center.
Bad timing, by the way, for Geno Smith to show his whole ass in that DUI arrest.
Well, Pete Carroll said at the combine that they were planning to bring him back, that they wanted him back. Although I have to admit, I can't imagine a Drew Locke Geno competition. So I think Russell leaving might have been Geno's gig.
Anybody happen to check out the police report on that Geno Smith arrest? It's a little worse than you might imagine. Anyway,
I do quickly have just a little bit of doubts just about how Hackett has succeeded in the NFL is with a quick passing timing offense where you get rid of the ball quickly.
Plant those seeds of doubt, Greggy.
All I'm saying is that's where he made his name, whether it's in Buffalo with Tyrod or certainly with Aaron Rodgers. And that's the opposite of what Russell Wilson is.
Well, he is.
He is a whole, like, they have tried to bring in West Coast style offensive coordinators, and always the coordinator got blamed as a bad fit. Like, I just feel like Russell
Wilson.
We're going
to stress about that? Great.
No, I'm not. Good.
They adapt. They'll
but
adapt
I'm just
to
trying
talent.
To, like, spin it forward to thinking about this season and what their offense is going to look like. And that's not a Russell Wilson that we've seen succeed. And I think that's what they tried to do with Shane Waldron. I mean, it's very similar in terms of the offense that they tried to run. And he had some ups and downs.
I mean, Nathaniel Hackett came to the razor's edge of becoming a hip hop dance instructor. He strikes me as versatile. I think he can move some things around in this offense.
Big takeaway, at least from the studio right now, the Chris Wessling podcast studio, is Greg is insinuating that Russell Wilson might be Mr. Limited in Denver.
Well, I think you've been saying something along those lines for a while.
Not unlimited.
I'm just saying there's this feeling that
I don't see him rebranding that.
That he's this, you know, transcendent top of his game guy. He is turning 34. I'm excited, though. Every one of these AFC West games is going to be in primetime.
Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Russell Wilson, and Derek Carr.
Greg has this as like the Herschel Walker deal part two.
That is not true.
I completely think this is a win for an organization that for years we've been killing them. They had Russell Wilson in their building pre-draft and took Brock Osweiler instead. In a way, poetically, John Elway, you know, he's up in the sky spiritually.
He's here.
I mean, he's not, you know, the day-to-day part of the organization, but he's probably still making like seven figures. But they've got Russell Wilson back, the guy that beat them in the Super Bowl. And this is a team that went for it in a division where, had they not, they would have been dead fodder.
I think it's win-win, and the Broncos win more if you have to pick one. I'm not trying to take the other side. I'm saying,
what percentage of Seahawks fans think that it is also a win for Seattle right now?
No one.
A team that just tweeted out the Castaway meme. Like, of Tom Hanks looking for Wilson, the volleyball.
You know, we've been tracking this for many years. John Schneider's not getting this right now. We've been tracking this for many years. These 24-year-old social media intern running the team accounts. That boy or girl, when has he ever seen Castaway? In Castaway, Wilson floats away on the sea, and Tom Hanks screams in agony. That was his only friend on the island. You literally gave away this Wilson.
Right.
So it doesn't even work, like, logically.
Plot-wise, it's a disastrous tweet because it's like you clearly have not even tracked how that film operated.
You know what else is a disaster? Ricky, play Pete Carroll at the Combine last week.
We have no intention of making any move there.
I like that we get to go to the Combine and hang out with our friends and eat steaks and everything and drink booze. But these interviews with the coaches and the GMs, I mean, there's so much smokescreen, and then we're reporting on it. We're trying to sift through it, but they shot it down, like the idea of a
trade.
They
said, we have no intention, and they choose these words carefully. And my old boss, Mike Florio, wrote about that. Like, that is the way of saying, and I don't know why they even bother that. Like, you can't say that I was lying before, because we didn't have any intention.
But that was a
lie,
too.
Someone else was coming. Right. That was a lie.
They also did turn down the Washington Commanders, who reportedly were going to send high picks over the next 3 years. Maybe a better deal in whole than this deal from Denver.
But they didn't have a choice, because Russell Wilson had a no-trade clause. And Russell Wilson, I think, ultimately chose the Denver Broncos over the Washington Commanders. If they were getting better value, what do the Seahawks care about it? But Russell Wilson had a say in this, and that's to his credit, to his agent's credit.
Well, that also takes the shine off of Pete Carroll winning this power struggle when it came down to maybe taking the lesser deal because Russell Wilson and wife want to stay on what is essentially the West Coast to some degree.
I think the Seahawks made a huge mistake not blowing – you know, when you say rebuild – here's how they should have rebuilt.
Nice geography pop there.
I like it.
Well, it's not the West Coast, but I mean, there's a mountain.
Well, you said to some degree.
To some degree, closer than to Washington.
They should have gotten rid of Carroll and Schneider to start this offseason, and they should have committed to Russell Wilson. If I was running the Seahawks, that's what I would have done. I'm not trying.
Well, you also would have released Russell Wilson outright.
But yeah, you're not a Russell Wilson fan.
I'm not,
at the same time.
My point is, once they already went down that road that they're keeping Carroll and Schneider, it's sort of, as Dan was saying, didn't make sense.
As
Carol was saying, it didn't make sense. What a time to be alive.
Wow. All right. We have so much more to get to. Let's take a break and then continue with the news.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, we're back. Aaron Rodgers. This is all, you know, dominoes. So the Broncos reportedly hot for Aaron Rodgers. Had the quarterback coach. Broncos did now as their head coach, and it seemed like a nice fit. But Aaron Rodgers decided to stay home, so Denver pivoted. Here's the details. Green Bay has agreed with the 38-year-old Rodgers on a 4-year extension worth $200 million, including $153 million in guaranteed money, Rap Sheet reported Tuesday. The deal makes Rodgers the highest-paid player in NFL history on an annual basis while also reducing his salary cap number for 2022. So the long saga that's built up forever, it feels like forever, but it's really been about a year and a half, comes to some type of close. Aaron Rodgers, by the way, came out after the Russell Wilson story blew up. He got on Twitter and said, hey, just so you know, the specifics of the contract monetary-wise, not accurate, but I'll say I'm happy to be in Green Bay, to which I say, Aaron Rodgers.
I didn't kill my wife.
No, just I don't care.
I don't care.
All right.
Ricky on fire.
I like the first one.
Yeah, I think there was a lot more going on there.
You actually thought that I didn't kill my wife?
Well, because you say that all the time. You always say that. So I thought it would be a nice tie-in, but the I don't care.
Right. But I thought I made it clear in our instant message what I wanted, just that one line.
Yeah. Okay.
So you kind of, okay.
I think she added to the show.
She betrayed me.
Well, she added to the overall show.
The host doesn't like surprises.
I didn't kill my wife.
Anyway, let's get back on track. Ricky, by the way, is not going to be with us next week. Ricky is going to be in Cancun during free agency.
Well, that news passed like a buzzsaw through the studio prior to our kickoff here. This is like the fourth year in a row she's been on a tropical island during the off-season's most busy week to date.
You can't talk to me like that. It's International Women's Day today, okay?
I'm happy for you.
Nope,
I'm extremely
it's
jealous.
It's okay. It's fine. You don't appreciate women.
The best part was like,
well, all right, that
Erica, when I was trying to talk to her, I was kidding on the square a little bit. I was like, Erica, we want you for free agency week. We want you in the studio. It's important. And she's like, no, you don't care who's behind the glass anyway. It's like, what does that mean? You're our producer, Ricky. We love Gravedigger and Stapleton and the whole gang, but you're our producer.
That's true. Yeah. No, I will send you guys a lot of ideas from the beach.
Yeah, you will.
By the way, Greg is disgusted about this.
He told me not to go.
Yeah, but that was like 3 weeks ago.
You had a conversation. She mentioned it to you, and you said, don't go.
Yeah.
And then what'd you do?
She went.
Very defiant.
I haven't gone yet, but it's the only time that we can go. Because
no,
Jet only
we
has
don't care.
This
We don't want to hear it.
This week. So.
Doesn't matter. Those specifics for our show don't matter.
I'm going to get my nails done. What if she proposes?
Oh.
Is that how it goes? You're
I don't
not
know.
Proposing
Maybe
to her?
That's,
I don't know.
That's what it is.
Maybe.
I thought you were going to be
Maybe.
That. All right, if here's the thing. You better come back with a ring.
Yeah, they're getting just,
exactly.
They're getting
if you don't come back with a ring, if you come back with a ring, you're absolved.
Off the case, yeah.
If nobody's wearing a ring, it's going to be a major issue behind the scenes for the show.
Okay.
And the upshot will be Will be upset, she'll be upset, and she'll go to Cancun again next year at this time. I mean, this it has to be half a decade in a row.
Well, I was going to try to do Cabo to see if I could like get any stories, you know, what breaks in the offseason.
Greg's head's going to explode.
Let's move on. We are beyond that topic.
Anyway. He is back. Aaron Rodgers, 4 years with the Packers. All's well that ends well. He did play the game ultimately in a savvy manner, even if he turned most of the public against him over the past 24 months.
Well, he also called it at one point a categorical lie or mistruth that he was seeking to become the highest paid quarterback. I'm not going to listen or believe anything anyone says ever again at this point in this sport, because that was absolute nonsense. This worked for him the same way things worked out for Russell Wilson. Be upset, be hyper annoying, and we'll tag along with your melodrama for a year plus until this thing caps essentially in Aaron Rodgers' favor. And the other domino to fall is that Devontae Adams now sticks around as well on the tag.
The tweet to me speaks to what was annoying about this whole process that Aaron Rodgers just sent out. He said, reports about me signing a contract are inaccurate. Actually, no one reported that you signed the contract. Said a contract was agreed to. So you're throwing in a falsity. You know,
nailed
falsehood,
it.
And you've done that before. As are the supposed terms of the contract I, quote, signed. I'm very excited to be back. Where do you think those terms are coming from? Where do you think an agent is putting out like those terms to advertise what a great deal that he got? You think it's the team? You think the team wants to advertise how much money they're paying you? No, they don't.
We've redefined the quarterback market and paying you more than anyone's ever been
frankly,
paid.
Look at us.
They're embarrassed. they're going to have to answer to a lot of Packers shareholders who got that free sweet piece of paper and going to see that
hanging in the
price.
Living room.
Ultimately, he probably was never going anywhere, and they used the Broncos well to maximize every bit of leverage this offseason, and that's fine. That's all players do that. All agents do that. Some media members participated a little more actively than others in really making the Broncos believable
over
the last week. But if you kind of noticed, the big names really didn't, and I think that was telling.
Isn't there any concern that, you know, it talked about him going away and meditating and thinking for hours on end about the fact that maybe I'll just retire? Like, we've talked over and over about it. If your head is half in the space of I might walk away from the game.
A year ago, I would have bought that. But I think after this last year, it was so clear he was all in.
Like, I think it was all bogus this whole time. I'm
going off of what Ian was tweeting, saying that there was serious consideration about all things on the table. One of them, I might leave the team that I'm now sticking around with, saying how much I love Green Bay and all this other stuff.
And ultimately, what did it come down to? Money. They paid me $50 million a year, whatever it comes down to. So I am back until I'm 42 years old, unless I win another MVP and they annoy me, and then I'll cause some more ruckus in about a year or so. Don't rule it out. This is the person we're dealing with at this point. The only thing you could say about Rodgers, yes, he got everything he wanted in the end. He's still on a loaded team. He's better paid than anyone else in the history of the sport. But I do think he did take a hit in public opinion over a lot of his
as much as any athlete
actions.
In the past year.
And
but not because of the contract.
Some of it there are a lot of people, Mark and I are among those people that had a lot of issues with Rodgers before the fake vaccine stuff went down. Just the way his general vibe and how he had kind of changed in some ways in terms of how he was front facing with the public, and it wasn't always flattering. None of it matters ultimately. And I don't care, as Tommy Lee Jones said, because he's under contract. I don't care about the money. He's sticking there. Devontae Adams is tagged, and this is still a Super Bowl contender, but a team that chokes in January, and that's something else for another conversation.
And now they can operate this offseason with some clarity. We don't know what the salary cap number is going to be. It's going to be less than the $46 million he was scheduled for, presumably a lot less. And they're going to franchise tag. They did franchise tag Devontae Adams. And so you're putting that on. That contract negotiation, I think, is going to be very difficult, near impossible, to figure out over the next 4 or 5 months. He could hold out. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see him until about the what, the third week of training camp, something like that, just because that's how things go. Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Jair Alexander might get a contract extension. Those the Smith brothers could get cut. Like, a lot's going to be happening with Green Bay in the next
week.
Well,
that said, if we want to say that shareholders with their piece of paper on the wall are going to be slightly miffed that the front office pulled the trigger on this.
No, that was a joke. They're all happy.
The other option is now you're sitting there with Jordan Love. You could maybe trade Jordan Love away to someone at this point, too.
Yeah, at 20 cents on the dollar. Ricky wanted to come in with a point. Should we let her come in?
Of course.
It's National Women's Day, so, I mean, of course.
You know what? And the chance that they're still going to ring.
International, of all countries.
Okay, so now I remember why I included the I didn't kill my wife, not only because you say it all the time, pre-show, which, you know.
I screamed it at the holiday party.
You scream it a lot, actually. Yeah.
Next to my wife.
But then I was thinking, because when we were talking about that, Aaron Rodgers tweeted this because I think he was really pissed that the Russell Wilson news had taken over every channel.
Yeah. I buy that.
So I think in that little minute where he's like, I didn't kill my wife, and he's like, I don't care. I was putting that bit together, number one, to the tie-in, number two, because it's like, Aaron Rodgers, no one cares that you tweeted that.
Okay.
So I just wanted to defend myself.
All right, Erica.
It's like an Unsolved Mysteries update right there. Very, you know.
I see what you're saying.
Thank you.
It's like a comedian explaining a joke he never said.
That's exactly right, Greg. I'm so glad you're a comedian and know exactly what's going on all the time.
All right. Actually, keep going. I'm enjoying that.
So there you go. Rodgers. And yes, Jordan Love is a former first-round pick. And people are like, I saw on Twitter a couple things that I didn't like on Twitter. One, Aaron Rodgers, he only cares about money. Now they won't be able to build it. Shut up. I mean, this is a business. He got paid. He deserves it. He's one of the top five quarterbacks ever, and he's off back-to-back MVPs. They'll make it work. Have you noticed the salary cap? It's way up this year. Two, people say, the Packers, they blew it on Jordan Love. Yeah, I guess so. They did. They took a first-round pick at quarterback couple years ago, and now it looks like he's never going to play a meaningful snap for them. But you know what? If the reason it didn't work out is because Aaron Rodgers won two straight MVPs, hey, you live with it and you move on.
I totally agree with you. And Brian Gutekunst has made incredible draft picks. That's the thing. Like, go through the rest of that first round. There's a lot of wasted picks. None of them got Aaron Rodgers as fired up as Jordan Love to go win a couple MVPs. And if they can trade him, maybe you recoup a third round pick.
I like the idea that the Love pick, and there's actually a lot of logic to it, made Rodgers better.
Yeah, I think like Goody is a master.
I don't think it hurt.
No, he's like a master of psychological warfare. It changed. I mean, they still lost, you know, two straight January playoff games.
I mean, everyone like wants to get on them. Oh, they could have taken this or that. Okay, and they of course choose the best players. This is just a sample. Here are the rest of the first round after Jordan Love.
Okay.
The other first round picks that were taken behind Jordan Love. Jordan Brooks, Patrick Queen, Isaiah Wilson, Noah Igbinoghene, Jeff Gladney, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
There you go.
I'm just saying.
What else needs to be said?
It's like, come on.
I mean, it gave us one of the more annoying dramas of our entire lifetime. I mean, among other
two
things.
Of those guys aren't even in the league anymore, which is that's hard to do for a first round pick after 2 years.
That's a toughie. All right. In other news. So those are the two huge stories, two of the biggest stories we'll get all year happening in the same morning. So there you go. Big story yesterday that now feels like it happened about 10 years ago. Falcons wide receiver Calvin Ridley has been suspended for at least the 2022 season after gambling on games during the 2021 season. The NFL released a statement on Monday announcing the suspension, saying that the receiver gambled on games over a five-day stretch in November 2021 when he was on the non-football injury list to address his mental health. Ridley, as you may remember, stepped away from the NFL in late October, saying he needed to get his personal life in order. Ridley tweeted on Monday that he bet $1,500 total and, quote, I don't have a gambling problem. And, you know, this is a thorny issue for the league because, on one hand, yes, people that are going hard and saying Calvin Ridley's getting screwed here and it shouldn't be this harsh a penalty. I can't get behind that because at the end of the day, the game and the integrity of the game, I'll put air quotes on it if you want, that's tantamount. That's so important to the league. And so, yes, if a player is betting on the NFL, you have to come down hard on the guy. But there is this other part of it that gambling, the NFL has now opened up its gates to gambling, and now it's all around the league. And it's fair to wonder if there could be more of this, because now sports betting is no longer separated by a wall.
It's legal.
You wonder what happens next.
Yeah, it's legal. It was legal in the past, and now it's legal. So that's pretty different. And yet my response to everyone pointing out the NFL's hypocrisy, which exists, was, okay, so what's your solution? Like, what would you do?
Right.
Not suspend them?
That's right.
And so I guess they're saying, like, have less of a suspension. But every time in the history of the NFL a player's been caught gambling on a game, they've suspended them for a season. Going back 60 years, one of the biggest stories in NFL history, and it's one that I always think, like, wow, that story would be crazy now, is when Paul Hornung and Alex Karras got suspended for a year. That was the MVP of the league, Paul Hornung, and an All-Pro defensive tackle. So it'd be the equivalent of, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Donald getting suspended for a year for gambling. They got suspended. Some guy you never heard of, Josh Shaw, got suspended a couple years ago. Remember that?
Never played again.
It's like. What's the alternative? You can kill them for getting into business with gambling, period. But that's been going on now for a season, and that's not going away.
Yeah, they strike me as two separate things. Because, yeah, we can critique the NFL's lust for money and their lust to get into bed with gambling houses left and right and do what they're doing with fantasy football and all that else. Secondly, to your point, back in 1963 is when Hornung and Karras were suspended. It has been crystal clear as day to players, coaches, and league employees that you don't gamble on football. It's like there's no wiggle room there.
Go in any stadium in the league, it's plastered on the walls. Like, you cannot.
They're taking symposiums.
Yes.
They're teaching players, like, I don't care if you ever did this in the past, you don't do it here. It's like, you have a special position inside the NFL, you don't do it here. And so I think, Greg, you nailed it. Like, is there a middle ground where, like, we allow players to bet on this or that? No, because then it creates all sort of visual issues. Like, they're already tweeting out plays of him, Calvin Ridley, where it looks like he's running in reverse and doing all this stuff.
So
to, you know, I agree that it's stupid, but it's like, why even put that out there as a possibility?
I'm wondering if the league's plan internally is make an example of Ridley and then step up our communications with the players on why this will never fly and can never fly. But other than that, there's not much the NFL.
And they caught him. Like, it's not like he's the first player to ever gamble on sports. And there haven't been many that have been caught, but they caught him, you know, because he did it through a league partner who reportedly reported it to, you know, an agency within the league that investigated it, and that was it. So it shows that you can get caught. I do think it opens up.
You can get caught, Greg.
It opens up some questions for people that work within that close to the league. Like, players can't bet, right? And league employees can't bet, but journalists can bet, and journalists have a ton of information. And I think it's a little bit of a Pandora's box that, like, partners of the NFL at every other media company are freely allowed to bet, and they have a ton of information. And then there's a lot of other ancillary people who are close to those companies or that work with NFL teams and also have information. I can think of a lot of different examples of ways that you could profit, and I do think that's something worth thinking about, because in the UK and places where they've embraced gambling at stadiums wholeheartedly, they've actually amped up regulations after having a lot of problems in the last decade or so. And I think that you don't want to go down that road.
I think the other place that it looks really off-putting to people, and I agree with this, is that we're still in a really weird place with issues like domestic violence, where a player gets 4 or 6 games, and then this was an automatic, strict, 1-year indefinite ban, if more than a year potentially. I think that looks weird to people, because it's like, is what he did worse than that? No. But the NFL's been in a muddled place with their punishments and handing down authoritative punishments for years on that front.
Do you want to know what the bets were?
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing. He definitely...
This is where I thought Greg probably
these
got...
These are bad bets.
He definitely confirmed that he wasn't, like, a gambling addict.
He placed multi-leg parlay bets involving 3, 5, and 8 game. Greg, an 8-game parlay, that is out of this world, isn't it, within the industry?
I mean, I don't know.
What are the chances on hitting on that?
There are certain types, Spice Racks, one of them. who are all about parlays, and you do
eight.
But you wouldn't be doing the way he did it, which is just like put down three bet. These types of people are doing like, you know, 100 different parlays, hoping to get a couple hits, and they do different variations on it. But yeah, it probably didn't make a lot of sense.
And then I saw some people on Twitter with the old Pete Rose defense. Well, he never bet against the Falcons. Just can't do it. You can't do it.
Don't do it.
It's a murky issue, and it's getting more complicated seemingly by the month with the NFL. But Ridley,
I do think it's interesting though. Like, you can be an insider,
in the suspension.
You can be anything, and you can bet.
I mean, I sense tricky. Greg is sort of turning green with jealousy that in any other media house that he worked for, he could be doing this. So
we can't even step inside a sports book.
No,
as NFL employees during an NFL season.
No, like for instance, we just had the comment. We'll talk to Shook about it soon.
You know, about 3 hours.
Yeah. All the times were really fast, right? And we found out during the combine that, and you probably could have found this out in a totally legal, normal way previously, if you had your ears on the ground, that they had changed the turf there in 2020. And so it was a fast track. It was a different track. Like, imagine, like, if you had that information, you could have changed your life. And I think there is some things to that that's going on with this gambling stuff that is problematic.
All right. Let's move on. We're going to speed up here. We got Shooky coming up, as we said. There's a report out there. ESPN's David Newton reported that the Panthers would, quote, consider trading Christian McCaffrey for a first-round pick and another player without a big salary cap number. This would be in contrast to Carolina's vision of McCaffrey last offseason when they gave the star running back a contract extension. But then McCaffrey went and missed the past 2 years, more or less, 23 games over two seasons with a variety of injuries. It basically shattered Carolina's offense. And yet, boys, I do think, and I know everybody says, Mark, it's bad business to dedicate a lot of money to the running back position and all that. If the deal was right and Carolina was more in a place of, I want to get out from under this contract, and you could kind of work them down a little bit in terms of what their asking price is, I think McCaffrey at 26 years old could be a huge guy that you could bring on a bounce back year. There's risk, obviously, on the contract and the injuries, but this dude is super talented and can help transform an offense.
He is super talented when he's on the field. He's missed 23 games over the past two seasons. He costs a ton of money. So for me, it's not like, hey, this is our version of getting Matthew Stafford. I think if you're the Panthers, if you're Matt Rhule, you inherited some of this, and they are a team, and they keep failing at this quest, that are heat-seeking a franchise quarterback. They have been mentioned in the Deshaun Watson scenario as well. It's like their idea of freeing up money makes sense for what might be a bigger move down the stretch. I would not really, if I were a fan of a team, hope that they would chase after Christian McCaffrey. I saw that you were into that, Dan. I'm not as into it as you are. I think you could draft a running back and be fine at that
position. My
point was,
I know everyone, because I understand, I'm not saying this is you, Mark, but everyone's kind of now bought into this idea that running back doesn't have a lot of value and all that. But I think that McCaffrey is one of those exceptions that if you get him healthy, he could transform an offense. I think he is a Hall of Fame talent, as you've seen with him having a 1,000 season. He's still young. There is risk involved, but I wouldn't look past it if the guy was floated in my
direction.
I just
think his durability is as big of a red flag as Saquon Barkley is waving out there.
Well, yeah, I would definitely rather have Christian McCaffrey. I'd rather give up a two, let's say, for McCaffrey than anything for Saquon. But he's also the example of why you don't give the money to running backs, because he's played 10 games in the last 2 years. I mean, it's totally hamstrung their team.
Right. If your people think, or you decide that his body's breaking down, obviously you run from it. Or if you see it's more been a little bit of bad luck that he's run into back-to-back years, then maybe
you're talking like a Super Bowl contender where this is a tipping point move and he comes in and lights up the offense.
They're putting it out there. I mean, just the fact this report exists to me was very telling and interesting that they aren't looking to unload him, just like the Seahawks aren't looking to unload Russell Wilson. But they would consider if they got a first and another player. I don't think you're getting a first and another player for Christian McCaffrey, but could you get a two? Could you get a two and another player? Could you get a late first, maybe? Like a future late first, maybe? I could see that happening, and it just indicates that they are open to trading Christian McCaffrey and that it very well could could happen. By the way, I just Googled Christian McCaffrey looking for the original report. Do you know what the first headline that came up for Christian McCaffrey was?
No.
Olivia Culpo can't wait for Christian McCaffrey reunion as trade rumors swirl. I was not aware that he is dating a swimsuit, Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover star.
Who's Danny Amendola's ex.
Right, who's currently overseas for Paris Fashion Week, and she can't wait to get back. And she says her guy is hot.
Yeah, I mean, he did well. He's done very well.
She's got to spend a lot of time with him because he's not on the field very often.
Whatever the list is, whatever category she falls into, good job, Chris.
I thought I had never felt older than when I bruised my ribs sledding up at Big Bear a couple weeks ago. But actually, that last little jag that I had about Olivia Culpo, that made me feel older.
Culpo.
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 All right, in other news, the Dallas Cowboys. Listen, the salary cap's quite large and rotund these days, but the Cowboys are proof that you still can run into issues with the cap, and they're working hard to try to get under the cap and prepare themselves for a new league year. So the news that came out over the weekend, I believe, is that the team is ready to part ways with Amari Cooper, actively seeking out a trade partner. So far, according to reports, that market's not so hot, by the way. So I don't know what that says about Amari Cooper or more about his price tag, which I believe is north of $20 million. So they might end up releasing Cooper. They've also restructured contracts with – drum roll, please. I wrote it down somewhere. I believe it is Dak.
Dak Prescott, Zach Martin.
Thank you. Dak Prescott and Zach Martin to get under the cap. And they also – and we're going to get to all the players that are tagged, but Dalton Schultz, their tight end – also got tagged. So the Cowboys doing a lot of work restructuring with stars. I bet they wish they had some flexibility with Ezekiel Elliott, but that's neither here nor there.
Right. He's part of the reason they're in this mess, but I'm surprised they're going to give up on Cooper. Cooper's essentially an ex-Cowboy at this point. It's just a matter if he's traded or cut. I'm a little surprised that a team wouldn't give up a fifth-round pick or something to take on that contract, which doesn't seem that crazy. It's interesting two teams have soured on him, but the fact that they franchise tag Dalton Schultz was really interesting, that they're picking Schultz, trying to bring Gallup back, get rid of Cooper, and then they asked DeMarcus Lawrence to take a pay cut, which is usually a sign that they're ready to cut you, and he, quote, politely declined, which I think was a
smart
move.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, put you politely.
Be polite about it.
He's amazing. What's kind of going on? I know he's set to earn $19 million, but like, he is the best player on the Cowboys over the last 5 years on balance, along with Dak Prescott, and was still playing at a really high level. So he should decline, because when you get cut at this time of year, you're doing Lawrence or Cooper a favor. Cooper's going to do better as a free agent than he would that he had with the Cowboys.
They've talked about Tyron Smith, Lyle Collins, Blake Jarwin as other guys who could take haircuts, to use a Danism. Right?
No, that's industry jargon, bro.
That is. I mean, it's like they are trying to open up that cap money. And I just wonder with Amari Cooper, because Jerry Jones had, you know, some ill words for him during and after the season. Maybe, you know, this is the second team that's soured on him and willing to part ways.
Something more going on, too, that he sees himself as a true number one. He came across pretty well, I thought, on Hard Knocks.
There are whispers that the Lions are going to go hard after wide receiver in free agency. So that's
– but like Amari Cooper on the Lions?
I don't like it at all, but
keep DeMarcus Lawrence and let someone else pay Randy Gregory if that's what it comes down to.
They're in sneaky cap hell. That's what it seems like.
Our guy, you know, Kyle Brandt, who's amazing on Good Morning Football. He was sick of all the attention kind of that we all shower on the Cowboys week after week. But I got to say, they are the most interesting team just in terms of the players that are available and the moves they have to make this offseason. No other team has three guys that were in my top 30 and then now two more guys that they might be cutting that could be in my top 15. It's just they have more going on right now, I believe, than any team in the NFL.
You may recall, Greg, last spring I had an impassioned monologue about being burnt out on the Cowboys.
And we've all been there.
Yes, we've all been there, and it's Kyle's turn to be burned out. But at least this year the Cowboys are coming off being relevant, even if the playoffs went off in embarrassing fashion for the erstwhile America's team.
Yeah, I don't consider them America's team, although they represent a lot of things that America seems to want to be represented by at the moment. So.
I had a whole segment I was ready for on NFL Now about the Cowboys, blown up by Russell
Wilson.
Well,
that's smart, Greg. You go to the network and say, I want to talk Cowboys. They'll roll out the carpet for you to say whatever you feel.
In other news, the Patriots. This one has got my my radar pinging a little bit, Greg, that the Patriots have one of the best young cornerbacks in the league in J.C. Jackson, a guy smack in the middle of his prime, and they don't feel like, doesn't seem like they want to do business with him. They don't hit him with a franchise tag. It doesn't seem like there's any real conversations between player and team, so it looks like he's going to hit the open market. Someone's going to pay him a ton of money. And I'll say this, as a fan of a team that's gotten burned by free agent deals for cornerbacks in the past, I'm always wary of them. Tremaine Johnson comes to mind. Darrelle Revis Part 2 comes to mind. But at the same time, maybe there's something to be said for Belichick losing a little bit of the touch a little bit here. Doesn't this feel like somebody to keep in the building, Rosenthal?
Well, this is very consistent with his previous touch. You know, he likes nothing more than saying goodbye to great players that leave and that annoys the Patriots fan base.
Okay.
Asante Samuel, very similar situation.
Richard Seymour.
It doesn't make sense to
Malcolm
me because this guy, J.C. Jackson's improved every single season of his career. He's had more interceptions since he entered the league than any other player in the entire NFL. He's up there in terms of historically the most interceptions in the first 4 years, and he's become a complete corner. So it surprises me they didn't want to tag him, and he is going to be number two on the 101, the post-tag 101, and I guess he's gone. You would love this article, Dan, in the Boston Sports Journal about other teams wondering what's going on in New England, that they barely have anyone in their front office anymore and that they barely have any coaches. Like right now, Joe Judge is working with quarterbacks and Patricia's going to do the offensive line and Belichick might be calling plays. What is going on?
They've had
one of the smaller coaching staffs for years and years, and
that
they
was
keep
my
getting
old beat.
Plucked, but it's like...
Now it's a thing. Now I'll say it's a... Hey, here, and along those similar lines, Bert Breer wrote for SI.com, and I did see this, Greg. I don't know if you saw this. That there was a general vibe at the Combine. Agents told him that they heard that the Patriots group might have been a bit disconnected with reality, was the quote. And the reason they were saying that is they were going and connecting with agents, being like, listen, we're not going to pay you near the money you want your guy to have. But if the market craters come back to us, we'll give you a short-term deal. And what's disconnected from reality for the Patriots, according to some of these people, is that, yes, that logic was sound when you had Tom Brady and you were going to the Super Bowl every year and it was Belichick and Brady. But now the teams that can say those things are like the Chiefs and like the Bills. It's not the Patriots anymore because the Patriots aren't special anymore. And that was a thing being buzzed about at the Combine.
I mean, the only thing is that last offseason, they went wild, and there was money being spent. But, you know, maybe if you've been in a certain mindset for 20-plus years, it's taking you a little bit of time to shake into what would be reality, and they're in a very different one.
Right. One of the reasons they can't spend is because they have, like, $11 million guaranteed for Jonnu Smith this year, who they would love to not have on their roster, and yet they don't
have
a choice.
It's almost like you shouldn't have paid a ton of money for two tight ends in the same free agency.
Right, but they got one right, and they got a lot right in those free agent moves. They were aggressive. They have a new GM, Director of Player Personnel, Matt Groh, Al Groh's son, who's been in college scouting. That's a big jump to go from college to suddenly, like, you're kind of the GM. It's basically Belichick. They cut Kyle Van Noy. They're probably not bringing back Dont'a Hightower. Devin McCourty might not be back. Like, it is going to be a very different looking.
Reportedly interested in Robbie Anderson. I don't know if that guy's the solution to your wide receiver.
Does he vibe
group,
Patriot way from what we know about Robbie Anderson?
They could use some speed. I like that. Yeah. Matt Rhule, you know, you always say, like, Bill Parcells, Bill Belichick, they're my heroes. I, like, watch the Giants team. Hey, how about you live out a real-life, like, dream and trade with one of them? You know, just give us Robbie Anderson for nothing.
I think, played 17 games last year and didn't have a 100-yard game, but he had bad quarterbacks.
I mean, there were issues there, yeah.
All right. Finally, time for Franchise Tag News and Notes presented by Upwork, where you can build a team that will build your business. Learn more at Upwork.com. Here are the players that were tagged, and boys, help me out if I'm missing anyone here. Packers wide receiver Devontae Adams, Bucks wide receiver Chris Godwin, Chiefs tackle Orlando Brown, Bengals cornerback Jesse Bates, tight end run here, Dalton Schultz of the Cowboys, Mike Gesicki of the Dolphins, David Njoku of the Brownies, and tackle Cam Robinson of the Jaguars. Anything jump out to you there? Godwin, by the way, they were trying to hammer out a long-term deal. right up to the deadline today, but it didn't happen. But he is not going anywhere. He'll be back with the Bucks, whoever the quarterback is.
The tight end signing, the tight end tags to me make sense. It's they're under $11 million, and Dalton Schultz, I like them keeping him. If you're Mike McDaniel and you're going to bring a Niners type offense, the tight end position matters. Mike Gesicki has been a valuable piece for them. Njoku, I don't. Totally, I think they
he's
were
the
gonna,
worst player they, that was franchised.
They were going to do. Real. They were going to keep. I think they wanted to keep him, but they if they do, and there's reports that they want to keep him and Hooper, and that puts you about $25 million into those two tight ends. Which I think the ultimate move is they probably cut Hooper after the June 1 designation, because otherwise he's got a ton of dead money attached to him, or try to trade him.
You could do that now, though. You get the money later if you don't want.
I don't know how much like interest there is.
See how it goes. No big surprises. Five of the top 10 in the 101 are gone. I think the biggest surprise is that J.C. Jackson didn't get tagged. And then the Saints, you know, have Marcus Williams, their safety, who they love, and Teron Armstead. And because of their cap situation, at least partly, they didn't tag either one of them. Would have been a second straight tag for Williams, so you got to pay more, and that's a lot for a safety. But
bring all those guys to Robert Saleh.
A little
Let's
bit of a
business.
Risk. Armstead will be number one on the 101. Someone's going to pay him huge. And Williams, there's a lot of great safeties out there, but he's right at the top of the list.
Mark, do you want to feel old?
Why not?
I'll feel old as well. Don't
okay.
worry. When the salary cap was set officially at $208.2 million per team, you and I started at this company in 2010. That was an uncapped year when the owners opted out of the CBA. 2011, the first year we were at the company with a salary cap, it was $120.4 million.
Well, it tells you that, you know, football...
$70 million higher now.
Football is a money magnet. None of it has trickled down to us, but it has gone
trickle
elsewhere.
Trickle-down economics have not included inside these walls, necessarily. Greg? You take it from there.
I don't know what to say about all this. I mean, I would never have expected it to trickle down, that salary cap.
That was Franchise Tag News and Notes presented by Upwork, the world's work marketplace. Learn more at Upwork.com. All right, let's
Carlton Davis, a free agent, by the way, because they couldn't sign Godwin. I think that's why they were trying so hard so that they could tag Davis and sign Godwin.
Bang.
And now Davis is going to be making a lot of money.
Ryan Jensen, they have two like super high-paid wide receivers and no quarterback.
Ba-ba-bang. Before we take a break, let's hit 8 o'clock delight. Mike Williams gets paid by the Chargers. It's a three-year, $60 million contract. Mark, you like the deal? Williams is a field stretcher playmaker.
Absolutely. He was a tag candidate. You don't f*** with Justin Herbert.
No! Oh, look at this guy.
That was surprising.
He's got some buzz and some heat. Matt Stafford could get up to $45 million a year. Greg, is that too rich for the Super Bowl
it's
champion?
It's just what it's going to be for all the quarterbacks. It's what Russell Wilson is going to make, too, very soon, by the way.
Yes, win a Super Bowl, folks. It will get you a raise. Brian Griese is going from the Monday Night Football booth to the 49ers, joining their coaching staff. Tough sitch for the old M&F team.
Well, they never seem to be in the winning column from a point of public perception, but Greasy and Shanahan are old friends, and I know that Greggy has a theory around this connection.
Well, he was a teammate of Tom Brady's at Michigan. Oh, it's like, oh, hey, by the way, you probably don't feel good about your current job if you're willing to take a 700% pay cut to go become a quarterback coach, like for a much harder job.
Hold off on those sandwiches. Tommy's coming back, baby. Von Miller, he said he wants to go back to Denver. Potentially, and he will now because Russell Wilson's quarterback and Jack Doyle retires. Really nice workmanlike career for the tight end out of Indiana, originally 9 years with the Colts, I believe.
The rest of that tight end group in Indianapolis right now has about 32 catches for like 180 yards combined between six people.
A lot of tight ends in free agency. Mo Alie-Cox, Ingram, Gronk, O.J. Howard, Ertz, Jared Cook. There's some Uzama.
Gronk and Carson Wentz. I don't love the sound of that tandem.
All right, there you go. There is a very beefy news, one of the beefiest news conversations in the history of the show. Let's take a break, and then let's turn our attention to a postmortem on the combine with the great Nick Shook.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my game.
That's my
game.
Uh-oh. Is it? Oh, my God. Is that Nick Shook's music? Let's welcome him in. The man, the myth, the legend from Cleveland, Ohio. The Pipe. He's known by some. To all the rest, Mr. Nick Shook. Welcome back to the Around the NFL podcast, buddy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm standing right now, in case you couldn't tell, because, you know, standing desks are good for your health. And, yeah.
Well, you're a mountain. You're a mountain of a man, so, like, some people you can't tell.
I mean, you were in that same room with all the bench press guys at the combine. Did anyone ask the Pipe for any advice? How to bulk
up?
Well,
considering... Considering, like, on receiver day and a few other days, 75% of guys just said they were willingly not benching and they were going to bench at their pro day. No, nobody
Shook was
asked
there. And you know, we've been trying to figure this out for 2 years now. Why did Shook go from NFL.com to a dream job for his boyhood team, the Browns, pivot back to NFL.com? You know, you could start reading between the lines that the Browns weren't comfortable with Shook being more impressive physically than anyone on the team.
That checks out.
I mean, I can't confirm or deny that, but that plays.
All right, here we go, Shook. You did it. You've done it, Nick. You're a rising star at the media, NFL media, and you have the 2022 All-Combine team, which is great IP. Great IP. That, you know, like when I went and I got the power rankings, you know what I said? I'm getting the power rankings because I know what it is. It's great IP. Who cares who's writing it? But you want to be the one writing it because then that leads to opportunity. All combine team. I mean, that's
Mark's
IP.
Mark's rolling his eyes.
I mean,
right
it's
now.
Just like that actually happened on our show, but okay. Keep going.
All right, Mark, hang in there, buddy. So you have the all combine team. Listen, Mark, I've talked to you about this before. You can grab some IP. There's IP to be had out there.
I think the issue is a raging sense of apathy, you know, burning inside of me towards written stuff on our site.
I applaud.
Personal foul.
You're going to rough yourself if somebody hears that upstairs.
Well, come get me.
All right, here we go. Shook, you did it, the All-Combine team. You broke it down. You were an Indy, and you have what looks to be a very interesting group of college prospects. I guess let's start at the quarterback position where you had to make a decision. Who is the All-Combine quarterback? A lot of people are into this Malik Willis fellow from Liberty, especially after his incident outside St. Elmo where he helped the vagrant man with some clothing that was very nice. That was Malik Willis, correct?
Yes, it was.
Nailed
That's
it.
Correct.
Nailed it. But you have Kenny Pickett as your guy, even though he has those tiny, tiny doll hands.
Yeah, the tiny hands that dominated the conversation about him leading up to his workout and his measurement. Tied with some of the smallest hands, probably the last 15 years, 8.5 inches was the measurement. But, you know, he put that to the side when he got on the field. And a lot of this team, I think, is built on a combination of measurements, using the next gen stats overall draft score, which takes in production in college and also measurements, gives them an aggregate score. And then also really for me, it's the on-field workout, you know, sitting up there in Lucas Oil Stadium and kind of seeing if guys will separate themselves with their play. And Kenny Pickett didn't necessarily look like an elite quarterback of the future, but what he was calm, composed, consistently accurate, looked like he was mentally ready for the moment and did a good job. He did everything you really expected of him and asked of him. He didn't wow you with a massive arm or anything, but he hit throws of significant distance with accuracy, and he never looked like the situation was too high pressure for him. So that's why he ended up on my list. It's not the best quarterback class. We already know this. Malik Willis ended up being an honorable mention in my group, but I liked what I saw enough out of Kenny Pickett to see him get drafted somewhere in the first round, just certainly not somebody I would necessarily trade up to the top three to select.
But, Chuck, I'm trying to think if I watched anything that drew more audible gasps from the Lucas Oil Stadium crowd than Malik Willis's deep shots downfield.
Yeah, and he had Chris Olave out there to chase them down, which I think the gasps were about 60% Olave, 40% Willis. Look, everybody loves the deep ball, right? And it looks good on TV, and it looks good. Everybody's sitting in the stands, and it, when it's completed, it's very pretty, you know? Big arm, big opportunity for him to show off that arm. There are some other questions that he's got to answer. I think a team's going to try to maybe potentially be seen as a reach when they take him, but the physical tools are there. It's just a matter of consistency for him and experience. Somebody that maybe you put on the bench in year one and eventually he ends up being a productive player. And we could all be wrong a few years from now and be like, why didn't that guy go number one overall or number two, wherever? But right now, you know, that's all we really have.
Anybody curious, by the way, who has the smallest hands in the current NFL landscape amongst starting quarterbacks?
Go ahead.
Goff?
Goff's not big. He's Burrow. 9. He's tied with Tannehill and Burrow. The smallest hands, he's kind of a fringy starter, but Taysom Hill at 8¾ inches. So he's bigger.
So Pickett
that,
would go.
That trailed Burrow, though, all
but
last
Pickett
year,
But Pickett played
too.
In Pittsburgh. That's the thing is, like, in theory, that the only time that this would really be a factor is, like, bad weather games or rainy games. Like
you know who
he
has the biggest hands amongst any starter?
I go Lamar Jackson.
Ricky?
Mr. Unlimited.
Denver Broncos quarterback Russell Wilson.
Nice.
10¼.
I like that.
Nice.
I don't buy that these quarterbacks are going to fall, and I know that we're talking combine here, but it makes sense to me that Malik Willis would just, like, rear back and not worry about timing and just decide to throw the ball as far as he could just to, like, show off, because that's what sells. Like, every year I feel like if at this point in the process you just – did the over-unders in Vegas and said all the top quarterbacks are going to go higher than you expect, you would be a rich man right now. And Desmond Ridder, to me, seemed like he checked a lot of boxes as a guy who improved a ton, was extremely athletic. He can play quarterback. Everyone likes his leadership. And ultimately, like, these three guys don't seem that different than other guys that get taken in the first round. They all feel like first-rounders to me or close to it.
Yeah, I put Ridder in as my honorable mention behind Malik Willis because I liked what I saw out of him. He had a couple accuracy issues, but for the most part, the size and everything, it all plays out. I mean, it makes sense. It's just a matter of I don't know how much teams value him. He looked good to me. He didn't look great, but he looked good among other good quarterbacks.
But you're sitting in the crowd, though. You're not watching on TV. You're there.
Yeah.
Well, look at that.
That's what he does. I'm telling you.
Oh, I'm in the suite, baby. You know, fancy living.
You're at Lucas Oil. You're doing ground floor. Anyway, hey, how about this? So the next gen stats draft score. You like that, by the way? You like the next gen draft score thing?
Oh, yeah.
You
I into love it? Any next gen innovation.
I know you do. That's that's more IP, Shooks. Listen, Mark.
Are you making these up on your own?
No, they're
from they're from a computer. Okay.
Shook, you have, correct me if I'm wrong, on NFL.com, a next gen stats column as well, right?
Yeah, during the season, position power rankings, yes.
Listen to that, Mark.
I have a column, too. I just am acknowledging total apathy towards
positional
the product.
Positional power rankings with the next-gen tie-in. Bang.
I couldn't be I couldn't be happier
Bang.
For what you're accomplishing, but that doesn't mean that it's what I care about on any level at this age in my life.
What do you care about?
That's a whole different topic. Why? I mean, has nothing to do with the combine.
Shooky, how about this? So... I saw you have there because I'm fascinated by this man. He's connected to the Jets a lot. Notre Dame safety Kyle Hamilton. He had a 90 score, best among safeties. Maybe he didn't run as fast as some teams would have hoped, but overall, the guy's a complete package. And again, it's the tape that matters more than anything, and he was a star for the Fighting Irish. But I want to focus on the running backs here because you have a running back, Breece Hall, out of Iowa State. He posted a 99 next-gen stat score, one of just six running backs to do that since next-gen had a score, I think, going back to 2003. I did reach out to Shook privately on text. I said, who are the other running backs you met? Because I read your excellent piece, and you mentioned that there were five others, but you didn't have who they were. But here are the names. Najee Harris, first-round pick, big-time player with the Steelers last year. Travis Etienne, who hasn't played yet, but a first-round pick for the Jags. Saquon, Derrick Henry, Reggie Bush. So is this guy, Breece Hall, I mean, it sounds like, based on his skill set, this could be an instant star. Is that how you feel about him?
Well, I think that his workout backed up what we saw on the tape, which is a three-down back, a guy that can get the job done on first and second down on the ground and can catch passes out of the backfield. He's got soft hands, and if you were concerned about his speed, it ran a 4.39 40. So everything's there. Total package in terms of measurables, workout, everything else. He did all of his pass-catching drills well. There was only one mistake. He ran a Texas route and had a little bit of a stumble, came back and ran it a second time and did it flawlessly. So everything that you expect from him, you saw him on the field do everything well. He's going to be the first running back off the board, and he could be a fit for a team like the Jets. I had four other teams listed there, Miami being one, since they need a guy that they can rely on every down as well to jumpstart that running game. But I think whatever team drafts him is going to be happy to have him. He's going to be able to be a workhorse and a guy that can help you in every situation.
I was very annoyed to see Treylon Burks not perform up to what people thought he might. He had a disappointing comment. He keeps getting put in the loser columns.
What's his background, his position in school?
Wide receiver. He's Arkansas. He came out in like absolute. He's the one that was wrestling pigs. Remember we talked about him
with
Zierlein. But you do like Sky Moore, who is maybe coming a little bit more of a dark horse candidate.
In school, I lost to a girl in wrestling.
That is not current. Shook, your comments on Sky Moore. I know you put him in your honorables.
Yes, I did. I agree with the sentiment on Burks. I wanted him to come out and actually do some eye-popping things in the workout, and he just didn't. He didn't really stand out to me, but Sky Moore certainly did. This is a guy who dominated in the Mid-American Conference in the passing game for Western Michigan, and you always think mid-major football, does that translate? Well, then you put him on the field with guys from Power 5 schools, and he stood out. He was smooth. He was under control. He did everything correct, caught passes in every depth and every situation, flashed the ability to make a highlight play. I think he's a guy that doesn't last past round two, and whoever drafts him is going to be really happy to have him and play a variety of roles. And going to be the latest Mac product. I think about a guy like Deontay Johnson, who if he could get his hands together would be even more productive than he already is. Mac continues to produce guys like that, and I think he's just the latest in that group.
I love guys like that who are just so smooth and can run route. Like, that seems to translate better, and I love guys that Steve Smith loves. He was so high on DJ Moore when DJ Moore was coming out, even before he was on the Panthers. He was loving Sky Moore. He feels like he has a very good feel of receivers that were somewhat like Steve Smith that can excel, and he was loving Sky Moore on the coverage. Just like a overarching question.
Very
Nick,
into Dudley Moore, if you talk to Steve Smith about cinema.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of
undersized actor.
I'm a big fan of Steve Smith. I ran into him when I had my kids with me, bringing them to the NFL experience.
Right.
And I don't know Steve Smith very well, but he just like went out of his way to say something nice about me to my kids, even though, I mean, who knows?
What'd he say?
I do a great job on TV. Like, they should put him on more and stuff like that.
Why is this on our show?
Right. I don't know, but he just seems like a nice human, because who knows if he even has ever seen me or whatever.
That's
but he
nice.
Was just trying to hook me up in front of my kids.
No, that was good.
They didn't really
checks
care.
Out as authentic.
They didn't really care.
Class act.
I thought these defensive edge players and defensive tackles all were so insane, Nick, that like you're looking at these mocks and it feels like anyone could go anywhere, and that more than most years, no one knows anything. And then there's a lot of copycatting going on with these mocks in general. But guys like Jermaine Johnson or guys like Trevon Walker from Georgia, who blew up the combine, but maybe didn't get as much attention because Jordan Davis did it on the same day, but he's probably not going as high as him. It's like you could shake up this top five or six between the edge rushers and the tackles. It seems like it could go in any direction, including the number one pick with the Jaguars, who just tagged Cam Robinson, their tackle. So maybe that's an edge player. Like, how many different players do you think could get taken number one after all these players showed out?
I think it's probably one of three guys. It's either Ike Ekwonu, the kid out of Alabama, the tackle as well, and then probably Aiden Hutchinson. Honestly,
but why couldn't it be like Jermaine Johnson or Trevon Walker, and someone just like falls in love? Doesn't feel like there's like some huge gap between all these dudes.
Well, yeah, I feel like that throughout the top 10. I think it could go a number of different ways, which I think is why these mocks are going to be all over the place as we get closer to the draft. You know, Trevon Walker, you want to use one descriptive term for him. It's athletic. I mean, the guy is an athletic freak. He stood out in the drills for that reason. He ran the hoop, you know, the drill that tests kind of your ability to get around the edge and your bend. It looked like he was at a 45 degree angle throughout the entire thing and did it with ease. I was stunned by that. He just really stood out there. And then you talk about, you know, guys like even Jordan Davis, but, you know, on the defensive interior. But Jermaine Johnson, I think, is another one. What stood out to me in the drills was his power. You know, he's under control. This is a guy who could not crack the starting lineup consistently at Georgia, transfers to Florida State, and becomes a stud. And makes teams raise their eyebrow. Well, why only 1 year? He said during his interview, lack of snaps, maybe not the best fit. I go to Florida State, I find a home. And I want to be feared at the next level. The guys he models himself after, guys like Aaron Donald and Myles Garrett. Why? Because they're feared, and that's what I want to be. He believes in himself. He thinks he's the best edge rusher in this draft. So I guess it wouldn't be a massive surprise if he ended up being the first one off the board. But again, you know, with the copycatting, it's all Aiden Hutchinson. A guy who, I mean, he's there in terms of frame, measured pretty well. Didn't quite stand out to me in the drills, but his strengths are technicality. He's got the full arsenal of pass rushing moves. He's got the experience from playing at Michigan. That's where he's going to succeed, and I think that's what ends up making him probably a top two pick. I don't see him getting past Detroit, but I wouldn't be surprised to see any of these other guys go in the top five.
Well, I know the Combine does this to these mock drafters, and I also noticed that Greg complimented Steve Smith complimenting him, but then about 14 seconds later took the mock draft industry, and I don't disagree with this take, and shredded them person to person. But is there too much? Is it just for our eyes that the Combine results trigger these rise or fall among players? Because if you're a competent scouting staff, shouldn't it be like 95% tape and, you know, the Combine's a nice cherry on top if you go in and do what we think you're going to do?
Yeah, I think that's typically what most scouts will say, is that the tape is the proof, and a lot of players will say that, especially if they're not going to test well. They'll just be like, well, look at my tape. Check my tape. So what if I'm not working out? The proof is in the tape. But there's a lot of value in the Combine for guys who can elevate themselves, and I think there were a few that did that this week as well, some more confirming the judgment of them than others. But there, I mean, we see it every year where a guy just blows the doors off of everybody watching, and suddenly they're way up high. I think about John Ross and that 40 time that he ran and where he ended up getting drafted. Now, ultimately, the tape kind of told us what we saw in the NFL, which is that he wasn't a complete receiver. But on the flip side, a lot of guys can make some money in Indianapolis.
I don't care. Like Jordan Davis, anyone that's 340 pounds being able to like jump 11 feet, you should just put him on a football team and just do that every down, and then people will just get confused, and that would be effective. It'll stop them.
Well, Shook, you've said it all, and make sure you check it out on NFL.com. Shook's breakdown is all Combine team, and I'll say that the next step for you, Shook, now that you have the tie-in with Next Gen Stats during the season, you have your all-combine team. Now we got to get you a tab on the mock draft side of things, because that's an important little step this time of year. You got to basically check the boxes for each season here at the Media Group.
Dan, do you have a background in law? Are you trying to be an agent here? Is that what you're doing here? You know,
I'm just saying, I see you as a rising star, and I want to make sure we maximize your considerable talents.
My goal for you is to gain 45 pounds of fat and then work your way out of it. Like, give yourself a physical challenge. Let yourself go into the deep dimensions and then come back as like a
nice
better
backstory.
Nick Shook. Yeah.
Mark, I already did that when I was 19. I lost 60 pounds in a summer, so I've already done that.
I'm saying game.
Too bad I didn't know you then.
And Dan, he's never trained to be an agent, but he has become an expert at climbing the corporate ladder by grabbing onto that IP. Don't worry about who you step on the way up.
Kick them if they're hanging on to you.
That's a real lesson for the kids.
I'll close with two things here real quick.
Yes.
I want you guys to pay attention to this name just because he jumped off the field for me. I know he's got some issues with tackling that he needs to clean up in terms of form and everything else. If you read Lance Zierlein's bio on him and his scouting work on him, that's what he'll list. But there's a kid out of Nebraska, Cam Taylor. Let's see. I got my notes up right in front of me right now. Cam Taylor Britt. I think that kid is going to end up being a stud at the next level. He has no fear, no regard for his physical well-being in terms of attacking ball carriers. He was very explosive on the field. I really liked him. And the other sleeper, going back to the IP thing, the Flashpoint series, ATN Flashpoint.
Oh, yeah.
See, that'll work.
It's back, Shook.
Flashpoint.
Oh, my God. Is this supposed to be a Bob Seger song?
Shh.
on a long and lonesome highway.
I can't tell you, Shook, how excited Greg is. So
I'm
you
excited.
Are.
We're doing an extra show this week just so it didn't feel like we were shoehorning Flashpoint into another show.
That, I mean, the excitement is, it. I could feel it bubbling off Greg and Shook. Obviously, you're part of that group too. So don't worry, it's back this week after a 1 week hiatus.
And then it's going back on hiatus next week because,
well,
you know, we could
well,
save
we'll deal
it.
With that when
we
that
have
comes.
A long, dead, like, 3 month period we could save these things for.
Yeah, but this is when you plant the seeds of a successful series.
That's there true. There is That's a lot of call. Unrest in our world, but Flashpoints is returning this week to the show.
You want to hit the falsetto?
This is
this
like
one?
Debuting The Voice after the Super Bowl, you know?
Flashpoint! And by the way, Shooky, it's on the Cleveland Browns and Baker Mayfield this week with Tony Grossi, longtime scribe in that region.
Oh, tell Tony I said hello. I saw him last week.
Look at that. I mean, the guy's an industry leader at this point, Shook. Later, buddy.
Thanks, guys. See you.
All right. Yes, it's back. It's back. And it's coming back tomorrow. That's where we end today's show. A mega edition of the Around the NFL podcast where we hit all the big stories. Promoted the Flashpoint series and learned a little bit about Mark Sessler and his career aspirations. Anything else to share before we say goodbye?
From me? I think I've said probably once again too much, depending on who's listening to the show, so nothing more from me.
And yes, there is some tension, Greg, with the entire group and Erica with the Cancun revelation, but again,
I don't have any tension about that.
That's part of the problem,
right?
Is that you created some tension.
No, well, right. you kept
the lies.
He kept going right. back to me. He's like, "Well, we got to move on. Greg's getting sick of this topic." And like, I hadn't had any thought about it. I was kind of enjoying the back and forth, the fun. Just because I'm silent doesn't mean.
I know you hate this, Greg, because you don't know what's ever going on in my head. I know you, Greg. I've been working with
but
you.
But in this particular
now.
Case, I was just like
I
sitting there sort of just enjoying it. And you're like, Greg's got to have us move on. I'm going to tell you if you got it wrong. You got it wrong.
You don't like the Flashpoint series, though. I got that right.
I mean, I don't mind it. I don't
you're
want
not
it
in love with
week.
It. I mean, it's not a love connection.
It just feels like, you know, Baker's not not on top of, like, you know, Ooh. People's tongues in the
Well,
in
let's
the
see
NFL.
What happens over the next 24 hours.
Actually, we do have
– We're tastemakers, though, Greg. We put it on the tongues.
We do have a quote from Baker Mayfield, though, that could be just like a little bit of a tease for the Ooh. Flashpoint series. Ricky has
Ricky.
It right now.
He seems to be happy in his marriage. He's doing all those dopey commercials with the wife, right, Mark?
He's doing the commercials with her. I mean, I'm not going to – I don't know. You know, again, I feel like it's time for me to stop talking, and we need to go.
All right. Thank you to everybody for listening. Yes, a big show – a big week for the show. We have 3 episodes back to back to back as we ramp up towards the new league year and free agency, and then the television show return – another show back from hiatus – the Around the NFL broadcast on Friday. Check your local listings. Okay, let's go. Ricky, no matter what, by the way, my frustrations about the Cancun trip.
Yeah.
I love you.
No, they're warranted completely.
Right.
Like, yeah.
I love you.
I love
and Graver's
going
to do a great job. But, you know, I love you. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.